flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Kelly Corrigan. You probably never heard of me. Maybe you did. I wrote some New York Times bestsellers. I gave a TED Talk. But the reason I'm in your ear now is to invite you to listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders. We talk to everyone from Bono to Amy Schumer, Spike Lee to Rainn Wilson, Krista Tippett and Bryan Stevenson about purpose, creativity, well-being, and what makes life worth living. Follow and listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.
Well, let's talk about some more gross stuff. We were just talking about taking pictures of the birthing process.
Yeah.
And we did get a phone call from someone, Lorna, I think it was, in Arden, North Carolina. She says the doulas will do that in a lot of cases.
What?
The doula, that is a midwife of sorts. And they will actually help also get document the memories and everything. So that makes sense to me if you're already going to be helping deliver the baby and they can do that. But like just, you know, hiring a wedding photographer to come in and take your pictures seems a little odd to me.
Can you imagine you thought you were actually doing photos for a wedding and you walk in and you're like, hold on.
After the wedding. Yeah. All right. Well, I want to talk about something else that might be gross for you. These are the list of the grossest foods in the world based on reviews from tourists who had these foods.
Spam.
Not on the list.
Spam jelly.
We actually have messed around on Torture Tuesday with that fish stuff. It's rotten fish.
Yeah.
Remember we opened the can and the entire building cleared out? I forget the name of it. It's like Schiedenfrom or Schrimpen.
You say we opened it, but you just popped the top off and it just squirted all over the whole studio.
That does that because it is literally, it's rotten. So the pressure, the gas is built up inside. And it is the most disgusting smelling. Yes, Surströmming.
And it's a food you're supposed to eat it?
Yes. We had to order it from like Sweden or somewhere. It came from Norway or
it's a Swedish fish dish that's known for its putrid smell.
Mm-hmm.
And often considered the worst smelling fish in the world.
And quite frankly, it was not the worst smell that we've had here in the studio before.
I don't know about that. I will say this, Tori, that's something we should do while you're pregnant is let you smell this. I think it might be interesting. If you have any morning sickness at all, this will push you over the top for sure.
It pushes all.
That's true. It was pretty bad.
I had a hard enough time with hamburgers.
Okay.
And you want me to smell this?
Well, it's just interesting because you haven't had the experience of it yet, and we've all done it, so.
Well, it's a gross fish.
Didn't we get in trouble?
Yes, we did.
Yeah, because they evacuated the building.
Well, they had to bring special cleaners in here to get smell out.
Okay, now here's some of the things that are on this list of the grossest foods, and Nordic countries dominated this list. So that's like Sweden, Finland, Norway, those kind of places. Number one was blood pancakes.
Ooh.
They're pancakes that are made with onions, spices, and reindeer blood.
Oh, you lost me at the blood.
Yeah, they're popular in Sweden and Finland.
Wow.
Right after that is something called blood palt, and that's dumplings with reindeer blood. And again, same countries.
So like the blood pancakes, that's just the syrup. You don't need maple syrup. You got blood syrup.
Oh.
Yeah.
Poor Rudolph.
Yeah, I know.
I've made a kind of muffins like that before when I cut my finger on that biscuit.
Oh.
It's like, it's a little extra seasoning.
Yeah. Don't tell John.
All right, this one seems maybe even worse to me. It's called Svede. And it's basically just half of a sheep's head boiled and served with mashed potatoes. It's a traditional dish in Iceland. They're eating just a half of a sheep's head.
Mary had a little lamb.
Not anymore.
Where'd that go? Where'd that sheep go?
That's like something from Silence of the Lambs. Yeah. For real. Yeah, but I mean, like, really and truly, that's... I don't understand people that eat brains at all.
Mm-mm. That's gross.
Okay. Yeah. Next up was jellied eels. These are big in England. They're an old school food in England dating back to the 1700s, rather. The flavor is described as unique and unpleasant.
Well, okay. I don't want that.
That's not what you want on the side of your menu.
All right.
Our jellied eels are unique and unpleasant.
Oh. Yeah.
I don't like eel that much to begin with, and then a whole jellied eel sounds no.
Eel and squid, when you go to some of those restaurants, you guys have tried to make me, it's like chewing gum. It's like seafood chewing gum is what squid is.
Okay, these are eels.
I know, but I'm like, the eel's slippery too. The oyster thing, it's just gross.
Oh, they're steamed. I like them steamed. I don't care for them raw. But.
Okay. sour curry made with fish entrails, which is their internal organs and such. So basically, the intestines and all that stuff,
it's
I guess.
It's like when you're cooking a turkey dinner and you pull it out in the middle?
Sort of like that, yeah. The stuff you're not supposed to cook.
I've known people to make turkey neck soup.
I know.
So. Yeah.
This is a traditional dish in southern Thailand. Apparently, American food that made the list was frog eye salad. From Utah. It's a pasta salad made with custard, Cool Whip, canned fruit, not actually any frog eyes in it, which makes it not seem that gross
that
to me.
That ain't gross.
No, I don't think it should be either. That's the name.
But I mean, I wouldn't eat it.
I mean, we ate mountain oysters before. That's just bull.
Rocky Mountain oysters.
Rocky Mountain oysters, yes.
I haven't. Have I?
Yeah. We did it for Torture
See,
Tuesday.
My therapist said, put things like that out of your head.
You did a good job. they said
gross.
Also, tuna casserole made the list at number 73. It's not great, but it's not bad enough to be on the worst foods list.
I have to agree.
Chocolate covered bacon. Mm-mm. That's good.
Yeah.
Yep, it is really good. I had somebody make me some before, and I was like, I don't think I ate that whole pan.
Yeah.
It was so good.
Praline bacon, maple bacon, any of that stuff.
Oh, that $1 million bacon at First Watch.
Woo.
Yeah, that's good stuff. Uh-huh.
And then Canada had something called fiddleheads.
Well, fiddlehead.
It does sound like a cuss word, doesn't it?
From your granny.
Apparently, it's some kind of special frond of a plant that unrolls and it gets stuck in the middle of a biscuit thing. It looks gross. Not as bad as like some of these, you know, fish heads or sheep heads and stuff, but it doesn't look good.
I've seen the videos on social media where, like, kids from other countries, they'll taste American food.
Right, yeah. They have those British guys.
Yeah, and it's so crazy because one of the time it was biscuits and gravy.
Yeah, I saw that one.
And it looked good. And some of them didn't like. They were like, this is this? And
I know the one you're talking about. That's the little kids.
Yeah.
There's like these two teenagers that do it too. And they liked them. They were like, this is some gravy. You're good.
It is. I could eat some of that.
I'm like, you know, my dad ate pickled pig's feet and stuff. You see them in a jar.
I just don't see why you eat a feet of something.
That's gross. It's just nasty. And then we'd have to eat potted meat growing up. I would have to take that in my school lunch.
You know, and I mean, every once in a blue moon, I'll buy some potted meat and Vienna sausage.
Yeah.
Just to bring back my childhood.
Yeah.
Isn't it funny how you'll eat something that's kind of gross to you just because it reminds you of something?
You do it one time going, oh.
But for me, it's Totino's Pizza. I'll get one of those. I'm like, I know this is a grease bomb. And I'll get three slices in, and it's good. And that fourth slice, I'm like, oh, this is not setting well. But it still ain't as bad as those things.
No, I agree.
That's gross.
That's very gross.
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.
You ever notice that whenever people give you parenting advice, they usually make you feel bad about how you're doing it now? They tell you, oh, you're doing it all wrong. This is what you should be doing. Well, I'm going to take a different approach. I'm going to congratulate you this morning because I think a lot of you are probably doing this right, and I want to encourage you.
Oh.
All right?
That's Tom the Encourager.
That's the kind of person I am.
Yes, you are.
I have a quick question. Is that a crack in our glass in the
it
window?
It is. It's broken
when
right there.
When did that happen?
No, it's huge.
I just got frustrated. And my head hurts now.
Wow, it must.
Yeah.
That is
something
amazing.
Hitting. Yeah.
Yeah, something big hit it.
You just saw, you see a little bit of it.
No, it's there's
huge.
One over here, too.
Oh, it goes all the way up.
It goes, yeah. It's a big old crack.
Holy
yeah,
cow.
I told you, yeah.
I thought what did that?
I thought at first she was talking about Cato over in a corner bent over.
I wonder if it was the cold weather, maybe.
Huh?
Maybe the cold weather did it.
I don't know. It looks like something might have hit it.
Right over there.
You know what? It's kind of funny because they're throwing it at our studio, maybe as a rock. Someone's throwing a rock at you, Tom.
It's a pretty design.
Yeah.
And I don't know why they throw a rock because you're so encouraging all the time, just like what you're trying to do here.
I'm about to be very encouraging. So they say there's an easy way to build up your kids' confidence, and there is a good chance you're already doing this.
Hope so.
They did a survey with kids aged 6 to 12 years old, and they found that one of the simplest way to boost their self-esteem is encouraging them to be creative. You encourage the kids to be creative. And they said they're happy and excited to participate in these creative activities like art and music, and it also gives them a sense of pride when they complete it.
It's hard to be creative, though, when they're just watching apps and reels over and over with their cell phone. It's like, can you get off your cell phone? Let's be more creative over here, and let's make some art.
Okay, well, that's the simple way to do it, is to ask them to do it with you. Again, these are 6 to 12-year-olds, so they haven't built up that feeling that you're an idiot yet when they get to their teens. So they still, a lot of times, 6 years old in those ages, they look at you pretty, you know, respectably. They think you hung the moon and everything.
For a little while, yeah.
So they said that 92% of them feel more confident after completing a creative task, and they love to spend time doing creative stuff with their parents. I did this with my daughter. We would make soap. Of all things. Mm. And we would get these molds that you could take and pour the soap in different colors and glitter and swirls. And she loved to do that. And that's the kind of stuff that, like, you know, when you have a daughter, your goal is to keep them off the pole. And that's the kind of thing I feel like this is going to help with.
And it keeps her clean because she's got soap.
She got soap. She's clean. And you're giving her self-esteem and confidence.
It's a win-win.
It is. But I can say safely that I did both of these things. And it's, I think a lot of parents out there are. And this is an encouragement for you to do it even more.
I would always do the art stuff. We would sit and draw and color and do that stuff. And, of course, they would always be happy when they bring home some artwork or something from school. And a lot of it's that pottery. Like, I got a hamburger that I put on display. Because one of my made like a, it was like a, it just, it looks like a hamburger, but it's made out of clay. So we displayed it at our house. It's lumpy buns, and lumpy burger. But
it's delicious.
But they were always proud, and that's why you hang the art up on the refrigerator, too, because you want to make them feel good about it.
Yeah, I mean, you're getting a 92% more confident after they complete something like this. That's a big improvement, and it's not hard to do.
Well, I didn't want to pick apart the hamburger, the old lumpy hamburger that's made out of clay.
Yeah, you did.
Well, I did here. Just don't say anything to my kids.
Well, at least most people listening can feel like they did it right.
Well, parenting, there's no perfect science. You just do the best you can. But that's, I think that was very encouraging and creative, Tom.
Well, I think there's a lot of creative things you can do with the kids besides just, you know, making soap or whatever. I tell you what, Hobby Lobby. You go there, you can find a million things to do with your kids that are creative in art.
A couple of weeks ago, I set it with Lillian and her little brother Jackson. We did had these little ceramic, like fish and, you know,
and
a mermaid. We sat at the table and did painting. She did 3 to my 1.
Okay.
Yeah, because I was, I did not do, I got a buck tooth dirty Nemo. That's what my,
there you go.
That's what she called it. That was like a buck tooth dirty Nemo.
She didn't encourage you very much, did
she? No, I'm going to do it again.
Yeah. Cato did not get any confidence.
The kids encourage you to be more creative at, you know, at school. A lot of times they'll wait that last minute to do the science project of the galaxy or the solar system. And like, I got to have that due by tomorrow. So they also helps the parents become more creative to go get some styrofoam balls. And, okay, we got to cram this in. Have it done by the end of the night.
And it doesn't say much about this parenting trick about whether you should be helping bail them out at the last second or not.
Yeah, I know.
Probably not.
My advice is not as encouraging as Tom's.
Well, if you're not going to bail them out, at least put money in their jail account so they can...
Jail account? No, we're not talking about that kind of bail.
Oh.
We're just talking about bailing them out of getting in trouble in school.
Oh, my bad.
This is for your future, son.
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how.
Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Well, you know, next time your boss catches you daydreaming at work, you just tell him that you're not slacking off.
Huh?
Are you daydreaming right now?
What?
Yeah.
I'm not slacking off.
Yeah. You're using your imagination to make billions of dollars for your company.
I don't think that's going to fly.
Okay. Well, according to the new study, they say it's a good thing when people daydream at work. Now, okay. You know, we're on our Facebook. That's not daydreaming. We're just on Facebook a lot of times at work or on social media doing our own, you know, stuff.
As they said, that's not daydreaming.
Yeah. Shopping is not daydreaming. Daydreaming is daydreaming. So I know, Tom, you daydreaming a lot in the shower. A lot of times it's about winning the lottery.
What are you doing in the shower?
Well, you talk about how you're going to win the lottery and you think about it in the shower. You give us a little bit too much information at work sometimes. But researchers found it helps them come up with more creative solutions to whatever they're working on if you allow your workers to daydream.
And I think it really depends on where you work. If you're working a production line,
yeah, okay. All right.
Or you're making burgers for me at the drive-thru, don't be daydreaming.
Yeah, I don't want that creativity.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want you to forget my ketchup or my tomato.
You're not making this company $1 billion, yeah. So just make the burger
you're
right.
You're supposed to be part of the billion served.
Yeah.
But then you think about, you know, on the assembly line, and people are making cars or whatever, and all they got to do is that one little screw when it comes, you know, to that little doohickey or whatever you call it. So they could daydream.
Yeah, this explains the recalls the automobiles get.
That's why I got a rattle in my door.
Yeah. Okay. That one screw because that guy was dreaming about vacation.
About winning the lottery.
But they do say that it also helps them get through challenging projects together. So if you're daydreaming. So maybe you're daydreaming about whatever the project is at work.
Doesn't this sound like one of those stories they come up with that they try to make it seem like the worker can get away with something they shouldn't, and so they make an excuse for why it's okay? Because
yeah.
It doesn't really seem like daydreaming is going to help someone get a job done.
Don't daydream if you're a truck driver.
Definitely not.
Yeah.
Or delivery guy.
Uh-huh. Well, they say, unfortunately, work culture hasn't quite caught up with the power of daydreaming.
Yeah.
So, because the researchers also found if you get caught doing daydreaming or too much daydreaming at work, it can have a negative effect on your performance reviews. So, you know, you always got, a lot of times they trust us to do our own performance reviews here at B93.7.
And then don't like how we lift ourselves up and say how good of an employee we were.
Yeah.
Then they could, well, no.
It's like, how creative are you? And then they'll give you like A through C answers. And you're like, they're like, this really, I don't think this one matches what you said on this review.
I like the one that says, what do you need to improve in the coming year? I'm like, not a thing.
Yeah, I know.
I am perfect.
I know. But that makes you seem egotistical.
But you have to put something.
Yeah, you got to find something that you can improve on.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't want to put daydreaming, even though it says it's good with the research here.
Yeah.
What do you put?
It's easy.
What?
But I need to work on my perfectionism. Sometimes I try to make things perfect too often.
Yeah.
I've been putting too much into my job, and I need to have a better work-life balance.
Right.
I like the, what are your setbacks? I'm like, I don't know. I don't have any.
See, well, I don't buy that.
And then you try to make it seem like, oh, I'm very passionate.
Well, you can't put your boss as your setback. I'll say that because they're the one doing the review.
Oh, it's supposed to be anonymous.
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.
I did some research to find out Americans have skipped social events due to skin flare-ups. 1 in 5 Americans will skip a social event because they have a pimple,
yep.
Or a zit, or a little flare-up, or a little blemish.
if I would have done that, I wouldn't have gone anywhere in my entire teen years.
Yeah, and there's so many ways to handle it. I mean, you can use concealer and all kind of things to make it far less noticeable.
Wear a mask.
A Band-Aid. I cut myself shaving my forehead.
Now, if it was a little one, I wouldn't bother. But, you know, sometimes you get those just gross ones.
Well, you get some of those that you got a name, and they're just big, and it looks like a boil on the side of your neck or on, like,
with
and the
gray hair.
It's on the end of your nose. Like, those get really tender.
But I'm like, you know, if you can see the white part, pop it.
And then someone calls you Rudolph. Oh, okay, Rudolph.
Yeah. Concealer will hide most of that.
Especially if you do a green one, like a green concealer, because it combats red, and then you do a normal color over it.
Oh, it's Christmas.
I thought you were like gangrene on your nose or something.
I told y'all, I had horrible skin my whole life, so you learn things.
And the little mascara to top it off, some eyeshadow.
For the one gray hair.
So other things they say they have missed, 53% say they've missed a dinner party because of a zit. Birthday parties were mentioned, 56% of people said that. A job interview. So, I'm not going to show up today. Why not? I got a pimple. Is that what's going to be? That's what work's going to be like. Every time you get a pimple, you're not going to show up at work either. So,
I mean, that's a good excuse.
And then it goes down to 43% on a date night. So I guess they're desperate to date, so they'll go out. Or less people are not affected by the date night and having a zit.
That's odd to me. I would think a job interview is far less important than you had a zit. But to me, it seems like it's not that hard to make the zit look better.
I mean, they might feel sorry for you in the job interview and give you the job. But then again, the date might feel sorry for you.
I don't know. Do you really want to work next to someone with a gross zit?
I'd want to pop it.
Oh, you know what?
Next to them would be better than across from them.
That's true.
I had a guy in school when I was in middle school, Bobby Green. He had him on the back of his neck, and he would, like, reach back there, and I'm sitting there trying to do, you know, my paper. And
it's
like, all of a sudden, you'd see it land next to, you know, answer C. I'm like, oh, no.
You're like, I didn't even mark that one yet.
Thank you, Bobby.
Yeah. He was helping you.
Yeah, it was not good at all.
Bless his heart.
That's actually awesome. You know he was doing that on purpose.
No, he wasn't.
I mean, come on. He had to know he was squirting at you.
Well, 82% say that they are skin sensitive, and it significantly affects their confidence when they go out. And they say feeling confident, irritation is also something, and an itchiness to their skin. They won't go out if their skin's itchy. And I will say in the winter months, I get like dry skin. My belly gets little red bumps on it. I go to the dermatologist. He's got some cream that goes on there. And it's not zits or anything. It's just red bumps, you know, like a little mini rash.
I wouldn't have told anyone that.
And not long ago, I had an itchy left nipple. I'm like, I don't know. Why was the right one not itchy? Just the left one.
How expensive was your cream? Because mine was like $100-something for my little
nipple. It's expensive, yeah. You can borrow mine if you want to, Kato. You got the same problem.
I got the cream, thank you.
Yeah.
What are y'all doing over there that you have the same rash?
No, it's not rash. It's not. Like ashy. Your skin gets ashy and dry, and there's little red bumps. Don't judge us, sir. I can't even come to work tomorrow.
You want to stay out and cream each other?
Yeah, there we go. It's like putting lotion on at the pool.
Just get Bobby to give you some cream.
Oh, really? We went there.
I promise. And we'll try for the rest of the show not to be gross.
I have a mild form of eczema, thank you.
Oh.
Dry skin.
Oh, I got that at Waffle House one time. Eczema and bacon.
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.